Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
BBC World Service. Experts say that the volcano Mount Vesuvius is overdue a major eruption. People living in and around nearby Naples often turn for reassurance and protection to the city's patron, St. Gennaro. In this week's documentary, Blood and Lava, Malcolm Billings has travelled to southern Italy to watch an ancient religious ceremony which many believe will save the city from destruction.
The procession of the relics of the principal patron saint of Naples, San Gennaro, is ready to leave the cathedral. The fireworks signal that it's time for the procession to move off through the streets. This annual event is at the heart of Neapolitan culture. It celebrates what's known here as the miracle, when what's said to be the saint's dried-up blood, contained in two small sealed glass bottles, turns to liquid. And it's widely believed that if the blood does not liquefy, Naples will be in for a rough time. If it does turn to liquid, then all will be well. The saint will continue to safeguard Naples from economic woes and civil unrest, as well as from plague, earthquake, and especially from the volcano Mount Vesuvius that looms over the city. In the saint's chapel in the cathedral, a group of old women in the front pews is chanting San Gennaro's name and praying for his miracle to take place again. But how seriously do modern Neapolitans take all this? Did the saint really exist? And what lies behind the miracle of the blood? Is it just a chemical conjuring trick or a paranormal event that science simply cannot explain? San Gennaro's blood is the best-known relic, but there are many more in the city. At least six other saints, including St. Patricia, St. John the Baptist, and St. Lawrence, are said to have their own samples on show in various forms. What is it, then, about Naples and blood? It's even been called the City of Blood. I asked the eminent sociologist Professor Franco Ferrarotti why.
Blood and life are very closely connected. Not only that, these are so prevalent in the everyday criminality of Naples, of the use of knives, knife and blood, blood and life, blood and danger as well as renovation, renewal, a new blood. You have to make a new blood. I think actually the developed civilizations, the developed ways of life, tends to have a kind of almost fear of blood. No blood will be spilled. No blood. No, on the contrary. In Naples, life means true blood. There is an equation there. In the Neapolitan mentality, blood is the only real vital substance of human beings. This feeling of blood equated with life, and life be the supreme value, and therefore blood being having an enormous value above all the other elements of nature, has very deep roots in the Mediterranean civilization, of which Naples is an important part.
This staircase is taking me right down under the main altar of the cathedral. There are more relics of the saint down here in the crypt that I've come to see. I walked into a room that has two rows of marble columns, white marble walls, and a brilliantly ornately carved ceiling. The floor is made up of thousands of pieces of coloured marble in geometric patterns, and the whole thing is considered to be a masterpiece of Renaissance art. At one end, there's a small altar with a glass panel. And behind the glass, I can see a pottery storage jar full of bones of the saint. So many that they're sticking out of the top. The references in ancient sources to Januarius, the Latin name for Gennaro, suggests that he was an historical character, that he really did exist, that he was a priest in the early Christian church, perhaps a bishop, and was persecuted and put to death by the Roman Emperor Diocletian in 305 AD. There are frescoes in the catacombs in Naples dating from the 5th century AD that name him. But there's a lot of magic and myth about his life. Paintings here in the cathedral show how he survived torture by fire, along with the story of the old woman who scooped up his blood after the beheading and put it in two glass bottles. But the ceremonies and procession through the streets of Naples are to celebrate the translation, or moving of the saint's remains from his place of execution to Naples in the 5th century AD. Leading the procession is the band of the Carabinieri, musicians of Italy's paramilitary police, in striking black uniforms and with generous gold braid trimmings. People holding brightly coloured banners, solemn-looking clergy and city dignitaries walk behind. For BBC World Service, I've joined the crowd lining the streets, pushing forward to see a medieval silver bust of San Gennaro. The head of the bust is believed to contain fragments of the saint's skull. Alongside are the two glass bottles of blood held high in an ornate silver gilt relic case. People along the route pray and applaud as the relics, accompanied by the Cardinal Archbishop of Naples, pass through the medieval streets. The celebration of San Gennaro in Naples has been going on for centuries. Father Gerald O'Collins, a Roman Catholic priest who taught theology in Italy for more than 30 years, told me about the saint's special relationship with the city.
Naples, underneath all the laughter, is an anxious place, anxious about the Camorra, anxious about Vesuvius, anxious about the drug trade, anxious about unemployment. So if San Gennaro's blood doesn't liquefy, they'll be more anxious. They've got so many problems. When Italy was unified in 1870, the people from the north took much of their money. In the Second World War, Naples was badly bombed and people were starving. And they've had it bad for 100 years or more, and they've got the Camorra, and it doesn't look as if they're going to, at least in the immediate future, beat that dreadful local version of the mafia. So I think if they have a big feast day in honour of St. Januarius, the day when his blood liquefies, well, good luck to the Neapolitans. God bless them.
There's a small square here, not far from the cathedral. And the point about this is that the square contains a 20-metre-high monument. And on top, there's the figure of San Gennaro. Now, this commemorates a violent eruption in 1631, which San Gennaro is said to have been responsible for stopping. Such was the fury of Vesuvius on that occasion that they took the relics of San Gennaro, mounted them on a platform and marched in procession, just like the one we're seeing today, right up the side of Vesuvius. And as they approached the crater, the volcano stopped. It was calm again. And Naples was saved. San Gennaro, however, was not in a position to help with the massive eruption of Vesuvius in AD 79. It was well before his time. That eruption destroyed both Pompeii and Herculaneum. Those Roman provincial cities just along the coast from Naples were buried by debris from the volcano. But it's only in recent years that archaeologists have been able to analyse just what happened to the people who did not escape in time. Professor Andrew Wallace Hadrill showed me the skeletons of some of the victims who were found huddled together in the port of Herculaneum.
From a very early stage in the eruption, which starts sometime after midday, there is this vast column that goes up in its final moments 20 miles into the stratosphere. From it comes down a constant rain of little pebbles. It must have been an absolutely terrifying sight from here. And where we find them is down by the shore. Now, that makes sense, because during the course of the day, so long as it was possible to get a boat to the shore, they will have been embarking on boats and getting out. We know that at a certain point, you can no longer bring a boat up to the shore at all. It's all just boiling. It's impossible. Sometime after midnight, then comes an absolutely catastrophic eruption, and the column that's already over 20 miles high starts to collapse, and it whooshes down in this process that's called pyroclastic surges and flows, and you get a succession, first of burning hot gas coming very fast down the slopes of the volcano. And this is what finds them, all cowering down here under their arches. There are about 2-3 dozen people under each of the arches. We've excavated about 6 so far. There are others still to excavate, and I'm quite sure we will find dozens more bodies.
As you look at those bodies, or what's left of them, what does it tell you about the conditions that they were in when they died?
It allows a scarily accurate reconstruction of the moment of death. You can see from the position of the bodies, the way that the fingers are all tightened together, the way that the limbs are crunched up, and the way that some of them, their heads have actually exploded. You can put together our knowledge of how a pyroclastic surge works with these scorchingly hot gases, about 500 degrees centigrade. They hit the body and you must die almost instantly, because this extraordinary heat makes all the flesh just burn off, whoomph, gone, and it makes the brains evaporate in a matter of seconds.
The bells of churches along the way ring out as the procession passes. It's a squeeze getting through these streets, a network of very narrow streets that were built in medieval and Renaissance times, and squeezing all these people through to the destination, which is the Franciscan monastery of Santa Chiara, is quite a feat. We're passing dilapidated doorways, enormously tall, 15 to 20 metres high, and framed in marble. And these were the mansions and palaces of former merchants and nobles of the city in medieval and Renaissance time. And now, run down and shabby, they've been turned into apartment blocks. The procession is moving past medieval and Baroque churches, some looking as if they're abandoned, weeds growing out of the parapets with rusted gates and chains. But many are still used, and their bells ring out on occasions like this.
My mother believes in the miracle because she's a very religious person, and the rest of my family doesn't believe in the miracle.
Do they have arguments about that?
There's not so much discussion, because my mother says it exists and they say it's impossible. It's simply impossible, because it's crazy that the blood, after thousands of years, liquefies. It goes against the reason.
This teenage student was not marching behind a banner on the way to Santa Chiara, where the Archbishop will declare that the miracle has or has not happened. Other young Neapolitans I met were less critical, and some had grown up to believe in the saint and his works.
My name is Alessia. I think that the miracles of San Gennaro really happened, because I'm traditional, as the majority of people of Naples. Nowadays, young people are very skeptical about...
Very skeptical.
Skeptical about the story of San Gennaro. But if you are very religious, I think that you still believe in it.
And are you religious?
Yeah, a lot.
I'm religious too. I think that San Gennaro looks after us and the city. So I think there is very important for our security, and it's very important to our culture, because it's a common point for all Neapolitans, I think.
I think that San Gennaro's miracle is unbelievable for the young people and for the majority of people. But I don't think the church should change their way of doing representation of their habits, because the church is made up by tradition, and most of people continue to believe in God and in the church because they believe in tradition.
in some places along the way, people are leaning over balconies and throwing out handfuls of coloured paper, torn up streamers that flutter down onto San Gennaro in his procession. I've come to the University of Pavia in northern Italy, and I'm watching an experiment in the chemistry laboratory. For BBC World Service, Professor Luigi Galascelli is demonstrating his theory of how it might be that San Gennaro's dried up blood turns to liquid.
Here we start from this chemical. This is iron chloride. Now we have 25 grams of this iron chloride.
Right, these are little balls of yellow material.
Yeah.
And you've got them rattling around in a beaker.
Yes. Now we will add 100 milliliters of water. Here we go. In the Middle Ages, it exists only as a mineral on the Vesuvius slopes. And maybe they stumbled upon this strange gel that liquefies when you stir it.
Mm. The strange new gel that turns to liquid under certain conditions may have been discovered by artists and craftsmen looking for new pigments when they were building the medieval churches of Naples. It was only after those artist alchemists stumbled across the properties of this gel that we get the first reports of the miracle, almost 1,000 years after San Gennaro's martyrdom. In all that time, the bottles have remained sealed. No one has been able to analyze the contents.
So now we have a solution of this iron chloride in water, and now we add this white pigment, powdered marble, this calcium carbonate to our iron chloride solution.
Right, you have...
There will be some bubbling, some fizzing. Okay.
You're adding it very gently with a long-handled spoon.
Yes.
And stirring it in slowly.
Yes, it takes a lot of patience to be a good alchemist.
Professor Galascelli's stirring is gradually turning the liquid gel into a reddish-brown, not unlike the colour of blood. The purified liquid is poured into a round glass bottle. Gradually, it becomes solid. Professor Galascelli is fitting the bottle into a portable frame that resembles the relic carried in the procession in Naples.
So we put the bottle inside.
Okay, and this is just about the same sort of thing that the Archbishop would have when he holds it up for the crowd to see.
And now we can turn it upside down by imitating the movement of the bishop, and it's still solid, you see, but after a while, and especially if you bump it gently.
It's beginning to move. There.
Yes, it's beginning to move.
And that's happening because you're moving the bottle around in the relic case,
yes,
sideways, upside down, and then you're knocking it gently on your knuckles.
Of course, until you don't give this bottle enough energy, you could go on moving it gently and it will stay solid forever, as long as you wish.
But, so you're moving it quite swiftly
but
now.
Sooner or later, it will liquefy, you see. Now, for example, it's liquid. And after a while, if you leave the liquefied gel alone for a few hours, it will solidify again, and the process can be repeated several times. If you move it very gently, it won't liquefy.
Do you believe that this is just a conjuring trick?
Well, it's a self-working phenomenon. The only question is, after so many centuries, did the bishop realize that it's the movement that will trigger the liquefaction or not? But we are not questioning, I mean, the honesty of the church. We are saying that the phenomenon happens automatically, and that's it.
Mm. Back in Naples, the procession has finally reached its destination. The vast church of Santa Chiara is filling up. They're not too worried about darting chemists, test tubes and Bunsen burners here. A thousand people are cramming in to hear the Cardinal Archbishop. Will he announce that the miracle of San Gennaro's blood has taken place? Or will he tell us all that the blood has failed to liquefy and that the city is condemned to misfortune? There's an anxious look on the faces of many people around me.
Signore Gesù Cristo, che hai detto ai tuoi apostoli, vi lascio la pace, vi do la mia pace.
Cardinal Crescenzo Seppi, the Archbishop of Naples, is finally on his feet. He's given a large white handkerchief to mop his brow.
San Gennaro, come Cristo, buon pastore.
He's keeping us waiting for news of the miracle. Instead, he's talking about how San Gennaro showed great courage facing up to the Romans in the 4th century.
Nella camorra e in tutti quei poteri occulti.
Now he's saying the people of Naples must show the same courage, the same strength today, if they're to fight the forces of the mafia, the Camorra, which he says undermine the dignity of man. Now, at last, the part of the service everyone here is waiting for.
Gesù vuol bene a Napoli.
Jesus cares for Naples.
La Madonna vuol bene a Napoli.
And the Madonna cares for Naples.
E San Gennaro vuol bene a Napoli perché ha sciolto il sangue.
And that's it. San Gennaro cares for Naples because his blood has liquefied. Everyone's on their feet clapping, smiles on their faces. The miracle of Naples has happened again. Misfortune banished. The mafia will be contained. The city will be okay. Vesuvius will continue its long sleep. Everything will be all right for now.
Blood and Lava was written and presented by Malcolm Billings. The producer was Tony Grant.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. For details of them all, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.